Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Back to our conversation in just a second. Question for you, though. Have you ever been in one of those situations where you're thinking, you know, I'd like to get some new glasses, but yeah, I don't want to go to the store right now, or next time I'm over there, it's going to take some time. Well, of course, you can always go to the store. And Warby Parker offers over 250 retail locations across the U.S. and Canada where you can get styled by one of their friendly expert advisors. Or, here's what I like, you can do it virtually online, and they'll even send them to you. You can pick out five pairs. They'll drop them in the mail, send them to you, and you can try out all of them and decide which ones you want. And if you don't want any of them, you can send them back. They'll send you more. No obligations. It's really quite amazing. They've kind of changed the game on glasses and contacts. They offer everything you need for happier eyes, eyeglasses, sunglasses, contact lenses, eye exams. And like I said, you can shop with them online at home and even in stores. If in stores is your thing, they got them. Glasses start at only $95 and include prescription lenses and anti-reflective, scratch-resistant coatings. I wear them on the air all the time. Those glasses you see me wearing on our YouTube channels, yeah, that's Warby Parker. I love them. Many Warby Parker locations offer a comprehensive eye exams, too, starting at only $85. And if you add a pair, you can save 15% when you purchase two or more prescription pairs of glasses or sunglasses. The offer is available both at home and in stores, and you get free shipping and free 30-day returns. You can't go wrong with Warby Parker. I love them. I've been getting glasses from them for at least 10 years. Get started with Warby Parker's virtual try-on. You can try on glasses and sunglasses, seeing the realistic color, texture, and size of each style right from home. Right now, or head over to warbyparker.com/ghost right now to take the home try-on quiz and pick five pairs of frames to try on at home for free. That's warbyparker.com/ghost, warbyparker.com/ghost.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
It begins with a simple family gathering, the kind of event that many of us take for granted. An evening meal, familiar faces, and the comfort of being surrounded by those we love. But sometimes in the most ordinary of settings, something unusual stirs. This was the case one Saturday evening when a group of cousins, all grown, found themselves confronting an unsettling piece of their past, a doll. What started as a casual trip upstairs to reminisce soon transformed into a nightmare that none of them would ever forget. The doll, a seemingly harmless relic of their childhood, had always been a source of unease, an object that shouldn't have had the power to frighten. Yet as each cousin gathered their courage to revisit that old room, something had changed. The air was thick with tension, and a sense of dread loomed over them. For those who had lived with it, the doll represented more than just a childhood memory. It was the keeper of a haunting secret. Was it the product of an overactive imagination, or was something more sinister at play? In a world where reality and the paranormal often blur, what do we really know about the things we cannot explain? Let's get to the letter they write. It started out innocently enough. It was a Saturday evening, and I was one of the first to arrive at Grandma's house for dinner. It wasn't unusual for us to gather there, and the atmosphere was always warm and welcoming. The house, an old family home, had witnessed countless meals and celebrations, but this evening felt different. Perhaps it was the absence of the usual noise from the rest of the family, or maybe it was just the quiet before the storm of what would come. It was around 5:30 when I arrived, and Grandma's dinner was still being prepared, so I found myself waiting. I remember my cousin, the one closest in age to me, hadn't yet arrived, and I was growing bored. Nothing was on TV, and I was stuck there looking around at the familiar yet now somehow unsettling surroundings. The walls, the old furniture, everything was bathed in a strange stillness. I kept glancing at the clock, and by 6:15, my cousin finally showed up, and I felt the relief of having someone to talk to. As we settled into the living room, I decided to share a story I had read on a website. was about haunted dolls, one of those tales that chills the spine without being too overt. I got halfway through the story when my cousin interrupted me with a curious look in his eyes.
"Ooh, remember Grandpa's doll?" he asked.
The question made me laugh, but there was something about the way he said it that set my nerves on edge.
"Yeah, where is it?"
I replied, trying to make light of the situation. I didn't realize it at the time, but that doll had a history that none of us could ever quite shake. The story of Grandpa's doll had been a part of our family for years, and not in a good way. My cousin had grown up in that house, and back then his family had lived with our grandparents. He and his sister, who was 6 years younger than him, shared a room in the house. And that's when the first incident occurred. One night when my cousin was around 13 years old, he woke up in the middle of the night, his room still dark except for the moonlight streaming through the window. And there at the foot of his bed was the doll, standing perfectly upright as though it had been placed there deliberately. My cousin's heart skipped a beat, and like any reasonable 13-year-old, he tried to come up with a logical explanation. Maybe it had fallen from the shelf, maybe someone had moved it. But that didn't explain how it had ended up there, standing in the middle of the room. In a panic, he grabbed the doll and threw it outside of his room, shoving it into the hallway. But when he woke up the next morning, he found it again, this time at the foot of his sister's bed, its hands raised in an almost grotesque way, like a zombie. He laughed it off, tried to rationalize it, assuming that someone had placed it there. His mother, his grandmother, someone had moved it while he was asleep. But deep down, he couldn't ignore the shiver that ran down his spine when he saw the doll's position. That wasn't the last time he saw something strange. On another morning, as he and his sister sat on the couch watching TV, my cousin heard a soft voice, one that he could have sworn was coming from his sister. It said, "I don't like you." He turned around, irritated, expecting to see his sister teasing him, but instead, he was met with her confused expression as she chewed on a mouthful of cookies. "What?" she asked, not understanding what he was referring to. It wasn't her, and my cousin knew it. He got up to leave the room, passing by his grandparents' room where the doll usually rested. As he walked by, something caught his eye. There, in the corner of the room, was the doll again. He stopped in his tracks. He couldn't believe it. It was almost as if the doll had been watching him. And then, to his horror, the doll's head turned to face him. Fear gripped him, and he bolted downstairs, yelling for his mother and grandmother, but they didn't believe him. They thought it was just too much video gaming. No one took him seriously, and the incident was brushed off. But the unease lingered in the back of his mind, gnawing at him every time he thought about it. Now, years later, as we stood in Grandma's house again, ready to face the past, there was no denying that something wasn't right. My cousin and I, all of us felt it. The house had changed. What used to be Grandma's room was now my uncle's room, after he had sold his house to care for his mother, Grandma, as Grandpa had passed away. But still, despite all the changes, there was a sense of familiarity and a growing sense of dread. We all hesitated before making our way upstairs, but eventually, we gathered our courage. My aunt was already in her room, so there was no reason not to go. I started making woo noises to try and ease the tension, but as soon as we reached the top of the stairs and stepped into the room, everything changed. I felt it immediately. An uneasy, almost suffocating presence in the room. Something was wrong. I looked around trying to shake off the feeling, but it only intensified. And then it happened. I turned, my eyes locked on the doll, and I swear it looked right at me. I froze. The hair on the back of my neck stood up. "Did you see that?" I whispered, my voice trembling. My cousin looked at me confused, but then he saw it too. His face went pale. We bolted out of the room, but the fear was still gripping us. "What the hell just happened?" I said. Unable to shake the feeling of being watched, we tried to laugh it off, but the air in that room felt thick and wrong. I couldn't explain what I had seen, but I knew one thing for sure. Something about that doll had changed. Something about that room had changed. We had to go back in, didn't we? We stood there in the hallway, the weight of the moment hanging heavily in the air. I still couldn't shake the feeling that something was terribly wrong. The doll, with its unblinking eyes and lifeless stare, had unsettled me in a way I couldn't explain. My cousin looked at me, his face filled with skepticism, but his eyes were wide too. "Are you sure you saw it move?" he asked, though his voice wavered slightly. "I don't know, but it sure looked like it," I replied, my voice more uncertain than I wanted it to be. We stood there for a long moment, staring at the closed door, as if waiting for something else to happen, something more definitive. We debated whether we should go back in. My cousin pushed me forward, suggesting that we go back inside to see for ourselves. "You didn't even know what you saw, so just check again," he insisted. Reluctantly, I agreed. We turned back toward the door, and I flicked the light switch on again. I crept into the room first, cautiously, as though the very act of stepping inside might provoke something. As my eyes scanned the room, I immediately noticed it. The doll was gone. It wasn't on the shelf, it wasn't on the bed, it wasn't anywhere. I felt my heart stop. "The doll's gone," I muttered under my breath. The words left my mouth, but they didn't seem to make sense. I stepped further into the room, looking around in disbelief, trying to rationalize what had just happened. Where could it have gone? It was right there. I had seen it only moments ago, but now there was nothing. "What? What do you mean it's gone?" my cousin asked, his voice low and cautious as he looked around. "It was just there." "I'm not making this up. It's really gone," I said, panic creeping into my voice. I felt my hands shake as I turned toward my cousin, who stood in the doorway looking equally perplexed. "It's really gone, I swear." We rushed downstairs in a frenzy, and soon after, my aunt came out of her room, asking why the light in Grandma's old room was still on. The fear was obvious in our faces, and we tried to explain what had happened, but she just brushed it off, telling us not to be ridiculous. "Stop acting like children. Nothing's going on," she said, her tone dismissive. But we knew something wasn't right. Even if we couldn't explain it, the tension was building. The unease had gripped us, and we weren't sure how to handle it. Still, there was no turning back now. We couldn't just leave it like that. So after a few minutes, we returned upstairs. This time, we were more cautious. Every step seemed to echo in the silence of the house. We took our time getting to the door, not sure what we'd find. My cousin kept urging us to just get it over with, but my stomach twisted with dread. I could feel my heart racing as we approached the door. We opened it slowly, and there, sitting on the bed, was the doll, exactly where it had been before. My blood ran cold. The doll was back, positioned directly in front of us, its eyes fixed on our every movement. It hadn't just moved, it was waiting, waiting for us. I couldn't contain the surge of panic that rose in my chest. "What the hell is going on?" I yelled, stepping back. My cousin was equally freaked out, and my cousin just stood there, frozen. "Is this some kind of joke?" he asked, but there was no humor in his voice. It wasn't a joke, it couldn't be. I stormed into the room, my anger overtaking my fear. I grabbed the doll, determined to put an end to whatever madness had taken over this house. I didn't care if it was just a doll. Something in my gut told me it wasn't. Without thinking, I threw it out of the room, pushing it into the hallway. "That's enough," I muttered, trying to suppress the wave of panic building inside me. As I stepped back, I looked at my cousins, forcing a laugh. "There, problem solved. Let's just go downstairs." But as I turned to leave, something strange happened. I heard music, soft, mechanical music. It echoed through the room. I whipped around, and there it was again, the doll lying on the floor. But this time, it was playing a melody, one that sent a chill down my spine. My cousins looked at me wide-eyed. We all heard it, but the doll had no batteries. It wasn't even battery-operated. I picked it up, turning it over in my hands, searching for any sign of how it was working. But there was nothing. No batteries, no wires, no switches. This wasn't right. The music stopped abruptly, and we all stared at the doll, now completely silent. My heart pounded in my chest as I kicked the doll back into Grandma's room, muttering something under my breath, but it felt meaningless. We fled the scene, running down the stairs in fear. Stupid doll, I thought. I hated dolls. Why did we even come back up here? Why couldn't we just leave it alone? But even as I thought that, something gnawed at me. A terrible feeling that the doll and whatever it represented was far from finished with us. It was only just beginning. Well, there you have it. A chilling tale that raises more questions than it answers. What could have been a simple family gathering quickly spiraled into an inexplicable series of events that none of them could fully comprehend. At first, the doll seemed like just another childhood relic tucked away in the corner of a room, carrying with it some unsettling memories. But as the story unfolded, that doll became something far more sinister. An object with a life of its own, moving, playing music with no batteries, and returning to places it had no reason to be. So what do we make of this? Could there be a psychological explanation? Perhaps the stress of the family's past, the trauma of growing up in that house, made their minds play tricks on them. It's not impossible. The human brain can be a powerful thing, capable of creating illusions, especially when emotions run high. What if the doll's movement was just a product of their collective anxiety, heightened by the ghosts of their past? The mind, after all, is often the first place to turn to when something can't be easily explained. But then, there's the other side, the supernatural, the unexplained. Could it be that this doll was more than just a toy? A vessel for something dark, something old and angry, connected to the house, to the family's history, or perhaps to something that wasn't so easily dismissed as a figment of imagination? We've heard of haunted objects before, haunted mirrors, cursed paintings, and yes, even dolls that seem to come to life. So, could this be another case of a doll harboring a spirit, a lingering force that wasn't ready to let go? The truth is, we may never know the full extent of what happened in that house. What we do know is that after this experience, the protagonists were left with more than just fear. They were left with a mystery that still haunts them. And while they may have rationalized the events, there is no escaping the feeling that something beyond their understanding took place that night. So next time you're faced with a strange noise or you catch something out of the corner of your eye, remember the story of the doll. And remember that sometimes the most terrifying thing isn't the thing you see, but the thing that you can't explain. That's all for today. Keep your eyes open and your mind sharp. You never know when something might be watching.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.